The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Hotelier John Brennan, good afternoon to you and Ken Mayer.
Hi Brendan, how are you?
I'm good, thanks John. How are you?
I'm absolutely great. Fantastic day down there. Blue sky, puffy white clouds. It's just gorgeous.
Oh, good for you.
And could be nicer than Cork today, I'd say.
I doubt it. I don't have the evidence to hand, but I doubt it. And listen, I know you would have liked to be here with us today, but
yes.
you're dog sitting, but in a kind of a sad dog sit.
It is. We had two dogs for 15 years. One of them passed away at Christmas, and the other fellow standing here on the floor looking at me with two big black eyes as if now the world is going to end. So if you leave him at all, he cracks up. So I have to say, I'm afraid. But a small price to pay.
Okay. John, the Park Hotel back open for the season. And we noticed this thing. You were recruiting for staff recently.
Yes.
And you were placing an emphasis on looking for older staff.
Yes. Yeah, I think America has captured this very well, where they have taken people who have compulsory retirement and offered them a second life as such, and they don't necessarily want to work 5 days a week. And our emphasis in the past would always have been on employing people for 5 days a week because it just gives continuity, less training and all of that.
Right.
But in the world we're in today, and with an older population getting ever older by the day, I think it's something we need to look at. And we put a recruitment day on 3 weeks ago, and we got seven people offered in that bracket, which is great because they only want to work 3-4 days a week, but they bring an experience with them that has pluses, enormous pluses, and we have found it great, and I just think it's something that we could all look at as a country and offer people another activity. It's very difficult to retire on a Friday evening and on a Monday morning have nothing to do. Dangle a carrot in front of some people and give them an interest, keep their mind occupied and keep them socially involved is great. And it's something that we wouldn't have really looked at or considered in recent years or in the past generally. It tends to be anyone who is of that generation with us has been with us 40 years and they've grown into it as opposed to joining us. So we're just looking at it a little differently now.
And the people you've got, are they people who've worked in hospitality?
No, not necessarily. One from the bank, from all sectors. And they just want to meet people and get out. There's a social element to it.
Yeah.
And they're not, you're not coming out of a bank and going to work in the kitchen. Okay, that's not the case. But there's loads of front of house positions available in hotels, doormen, concierge, porters and so on and so forth. That role fits perfectly. You could have a person who worked in a bar years ago and want to come back in for weddings in Drumquina and work for weddings in Drumquina in the bar. It's something that just dangles a carrot in front of them and said, yeah, there's no real commitment to it, but it gives me a social outlet and it ticks the box for us.
And a structure to the week and everything. Like I know now there'll be young people giving out saying they could give those jobs to young people. But I'd be a big fan of the notion of the gradual retirement, which again, I think the Yanks are ahead of us on this. But the idea that you're not... you're not just suddenly put on the scrap heap all in one go. And it gives a structure to life and everything, doesn't it?
Well, it gives a meaning. And I think in when I was young, 65 was old. 65 is not old anymore. There's a good 30 years left in the majority. 88, I think, is the life expectancy of a male in Ireland now. And there's a good 30 years after you retire. 25, 30 years. That's an awful long time. That's a third of your life, nearly. So to be in a role that says when you're 65, sorry, you're out, it's a huge, as your previous speaker spoke about, it's a huge pressure on the system and financially for the country. But it's also a huge pressure on the people themselves to fill time. And there's only so much golf and sailing and walking and hiking that you can do. Social interaction is hugely important, and this just gives people an opportunity to do that. And I think it should be raised as a topic because it's not about hotels. It's right across the board and could embrace that market.
Yeah. But look, I presume it's not completely altruistic. In a sense, is it partially driven by the fact that we do hear that hospitality businesses are finding it difficult to get staff?
I think every industry across the board is finding it difficult to get staff. I was in America 3 weeks ago, and every place I went, there was vacancies written on windows and on doors. I think it's increasingly hard. COVID has played a huge amount into that for good reasons in some respect. But certainly the hospitality industry would be finding it tough right across the world, except for South America for some reason. South America seems to be fine, but outside of that, it is global. And this is one way of addressing it. And I think America was ahead of the curve on it many years ago in embracing that market. And it's a realization, until something of that nature hits, you don't necessarily think about things like that. So we never had to consider that market before.
Yeah.
But it is a market that has two pluses to it. It fills the need for service industry, and it also provides a social outfit for those people.
Now, of course, the reason that people might say that hospitality is finding it difficult to fill jobs is that there was a kind of a wake-up that actually this life and the pay and conditions of it are not a good life. I think a lot of people felt that when they stopped.
I think people reevaluated their lives hugely right across all sectors during lockdown. And I think people tasted retirement at an age which they weren't at a retirement age. I think some people had their mortgages paid in their mid-40s, 50s, and felt that, right, I can walk the beach on a Sunday, I can do that on a Thursday, that's great, and I only need to go back to work 2 or 3 days a week. I think that's replicated right across the Western seaboard anyway, certainly. And it is something that has hit the industry like a tsunami. But we have to find avenues to get back, and we will.
Are the pay and conditions good enough?
Are they good enough? I would say that if an employer in this industry is not paying good people well, you don't keep them. Like, there's no chain around anyone saying tying them to the front door of any hotel in the country if the conditions and the pay are bad. Everyone can leave. So if you're in a job and you're not being treated right and the employer isn't good, you leave. It's not a problem. There's plenty of good employers out there. Yes, there is unsociable hours, but no one can have a social life unless people are working unsociable hours. That's just a fact of life.
Yeah.
And we just have to address split shifts and various different things that were difficult to work with and address them to the best of our ability. And we have done a host of things along those areas in the recent past, I have to say, to make it more palatable. But I have to
making it more palatable?
Just split shifts, earlies and lates, straight days, nights, 4 nights a week instead of 5 nights a week, things of that nature, gym membership, yoga classes a week.
Really?
No, wait till you hear this one. Now, this is a good one. A day off the day after, like a paid day off the day after your birthday, which is aimed at the younger market.
Okay.
Because that says two things. One, we recognise you have a social life, which is hugely important. And number two, it's a nice gesture on behalf of the company to give a person the day off after their birthday. The day of the birthday is fine, and they'll have that night off anyway 9 times out of 10, and then they can relax and enjoy the day after.
So come here, is this what the new worker wants now? Is it percolating out from the tech industry that they want, gym memberships and yoga classes and days off after their birthday and that?
It's not necessarily that. There's a requirement to provide social involvement incorporated into the workplace, that it's not all just graft. And I think that is part of what the next generation wants. I think very much the next generation is a different generation than we've ever experienced before.
Yeah, go on.
And I think, I know you're going to love
in
this.
In what way?
I can see you smiling. In that we've come through 2 years where there hasn't been work for school leavers. And the tradition of you working on a vegetable truck or going in and washing dishes in a hotel or whatever the case would be, that has gone because those jobs weren't there for the last 2 years. So we now have a graduate or a school leaver at a stage where they may not have actually worked out in the workplace before. And they may come to us then with an expectation that, well, I never had to do this before. It's really not what I want. Like, we've had all sorts. I can't identify them here because they'll be known. But certain things have happened that would never have happened before, and people just leave over the smallest little incident possible because they feel offended. And I spoke to a colleague the other day, and he says, I'm not a hotel manager anymore. He said, I'm a psychiatrist. Because you certainly need skills today that we would never have called on before.
Okay.
But that's the world we
it's
live in.
It's probably a healthy thing, is it, that they have a regard for themselves and they feel they have options and that kind of thing?
Correct. And that is something that we have to deal with. And that's why I go back to the things that we've put in place in the park and in Lansdowne and Drumquina that gives that younger generation more sense of a life than probably would have existed in many industries. This isn't hospitality right across the board, I think, than we would have alluded to before. In the past, the employer was predominantly interested in the business and the operation of the business.
Okay.
I think there's another element in this now that all industries have to stand back and look at. And yes, the tech industries as Google and Facebook were probably led this and were way ahead of the curve on the rest of commercial activity.
So, and we hear a lot of talk now, of course, about the purposeful organisation, and people want to feel purpose in their work and work for an organisation that is purposeful, and companies having to take stances on all kinds of issues that they might not want to get involved in. So are you gone all touchy-feely now in how you manage your business and your staff, yeah?
No, I wouldn't say that. You still have to run a business commercially at the end of the day, but you do have to be much more aware of individuals' mindset and where they are than would have been traditionally the case. And that's no harm. That makes us think. I don't think that's a negative by any means.
Yeah.
It's actually, I think it's quite a good plus. But I think there's a whole host of things that we have that are huge, huge pluses. Like in this industry, if you're well trained in this industry, you have a passport to travel anywhere in the world, and you will get a job anywhere in the world. Because people's age demographic of the world is getting older, their individual wealth is getting, well, up until the last 2 months, I suppose, their individual wealth was increasing, and their leisure time was increasing. So hospitality, vacations, experiences are all things that the market is growing for. So people well trained in this industry can travel anywhere. And like if you work in any industry that works Monday to Friday 9 to 5 or 9 to 6, and you want to go for a dentist appointment on the Thursday afternoon, you have to take a half day's holidays. Like in this industry, you don't have to do that at all. Like you can go away for 4 or 5 days, run your days back to back, and you don't even have to take holidays. So there's a lot of pluses in it. Yes, there are minuses insofar as that we do work nights, but you can't go out unless someone is working a night. And if you have a hospitality disposition that is just a nice personality that is people orientated, it is a fantastic industry to work.
Yeah, and you'll get the buzz out of being around people having a good time.
But we do have to be conscious of the people with us and make sure that they have a enjoyable time. And it's funny what you spoke there about a few minutes ago, because I did a course a couple of years ago in Cornell, and we wrote down the top 7 things that we felt employees were looking for when they were coming for a job.
Yeah.
And actually, this was a group of worldwide hoteliers. And actually, the 7 things that the new workforce were looking for were the direct opposite of what we expected them to be. So like wages wasn't number 1, it was number 7. But it was all the other things, the benefits, the perks, the understanding of the business, of the person as an individual, were all way ahead of what we thought they would be. So,
yeah, we can underestimate people, can't we? Listen, one of your big points as well about younger people is that they shouldn't be so hung up on third level.
Yes, yeah. I wrote a book recently, actually, and that's the main topic of it. I think, as a nation, our secondary school system is totally geared with only one goal, and that's to get people to third level. And I don't believe it is right that we expect all our second level students to go to third level. And I think there's quite a number of second level students would do much, much better in life if they never went to college. There is certainly a huge amount of people who have to go to college for certain things, but there is a certain market out there. And I don't like the way society views people who don't go to third level college. I think it is wrong. I don't think everyone is academic. I couldn't read a book when I was in school. I left school at 15, and it wasn't an issue back in the 80s. But in today's world, if you left school at 15, you'd be demonised by all around you. And I think there's ferocious parental pressure on people to do well in exams. And I hate the day the Leaving Cert comes out and all media outlets champion the people who get the 9A1s.
Yeah.
And the person who gets the 260 points or 250 points probably may have done better. And I was on a radio interview one morning, and a guy rang in and he said, listen, he said, I'm a school teacher. He said, at the first day of the new year, I always go into the D class. And he said, listen, no one's proud to be in this class. He said, you were all disappointed to end up in the D class. But I can tell you here and now from my experience, he says, most of the people in the A class are going to end up working for you.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a fantastic thing to say to students starting in their secondary school life.
A lot of people who go to college, if they had a risk-taking entrepreneurial kind of mindset where they might actually, you know, take chances and do things, it's knocked out of them. Listen, yeah. On another note, how's the summer looking?
The summer is looking good. We're a little bit spoiled insofar as that for the last 2 years, every time any hotel on the west coast of Ireland was open, it was busy, busy, busy. I have to keep pinching myself and saying to myself, listen, it's only the end of March, early April. In traditional census, we are still busier than we would have been in 18 and 19, but it just feels quieter because we're used to the place being so busy.
So the staycation people who flocked to all the Irish places over the last 2 years, as much as we loved all rediscovering Ireland and everything else, are they all gone back abroad? We see it at the airport, of course, at the first sniff of a bit of sun, yeah?
Yeah. A bit of that, but also it's only March. We haven't been open in March for the last 2 years.
Okay.
So we have to remember that the season has got much longer this year. People's disposable income has reduced, and they might be saying, right, we're only going to go for one weekend away instead of four, whatever the case would be.
People might be finding Ireland expensive as well, John. Like this was the flip side of people loving rediscovering Ireland, but they were also rediscovering that it's a lot cheaper a lot of the time to get a flight at the right price and be off somewhere else where you can live for half nothing.
I don't think you can have a cheap experience on the ground when you have a high cost base and a high cost of living for everyone who lives in the country. I know for a fact that the wages in European countries is below what we have in Ireland. The cost of living is much higher in Ireland, and when we have people working in the industry, we have to pay them accordingly.
Yeah.
And that means at the end of the day, unfortunately, only one person pays, and that's the customer. If you look across the board, there is not enormous profits in the hospitality industry. Restaurants are running at around 5%. Hotels are running at around 8 to 10%. And when you take capital expenditure out of it after that, you're left with very, very little with wear and tear on hotels and carpets to replace every 5 or 6 years and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
so
and I presume the price of everything day to day is going up all the time, is it? Food,
yes.
and the rest of it.
Listen, we paid €24.50 for a kilo of beef last year. We're paying €44 this year. Like, it's just gone through the roof. And you cannot turn around...
24 to 44 for a kilo. So it's practically doubled.
Yeah. And like, we're paying €33 more for a box of butter. Like, the price of everything has gone through the roof, and to an extent that you can, it's gone to such a level it's not possible to pass it on to the customer because it's just not there. And we have extracted fat out of operational costs in recent years because we had to. So there's very little margins. And this year, from a business point of view, even if business is very good, it will still be very, very hard to operate successfully because of the costs. And that's, you know, I know previous speakers this morning spoke about it, this going up and that going up. In some sense, it's a small cost for us to pay what's going on in Ukraine.
Absolutely.
I'd much prefer to make no money, break even if at all possible, or lose some and still survive compared to what's going on out there.
Absolutely.
I think it's all in context.
Of course, 100%. And listen, speaking of first world problems, this is a completely daft question now, but you might have the answer to it. I've been looking for tomatoes for the last 4 or 5 days, just the regular, you know, 60p for six straightforward tomatoes. And like, the tomato oil is empty. There seems to be a lot of shortage of lettuces and various fruits and stuff as well. Is that something that's... I don't want to cause alarm now, but is that something that's going on?
We haven't come across that, to be honest with you. Not been smart now, but we do have greenhouses and we grow a lot of our stuff ourselves.
Your first world issues then outdo my first world issues. So it's grow your own in the greenhouse is the answer.
I'll send you a greenhouse for Christmas.
Okay. Listen, John, thanks a million.
I
rock a good sense as always. One emailer saying, John Brennan, fantastic interview. Got it spot on. Recollege and mature workers. Hope others take that message on. Good bit of common sense there. John Brennan, thanks. We'll take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.